Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, hour number two. Coming alive from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender. Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here on a Wednesday. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Now, we often joke on the show, like, what, not literally, because this is impossible, but what Tiki and I truly know about hockey could probably fit inside of a thimble. Right? But when we bring in a guest, I got to be honest with you, whether it's PK Subban,
JR Roenick,
we trot out the heavy hitters.
Pierre McGuire, whoever. Yeah.
Pierre. And we got one of them today. Lucky Luke Robitaille is with us, Hall of Famer, and played on some iconic teams. He's with us in studio. Luke, how are you today? Welcome
I'm
to our show,
great.
Buddy.
I'm doing great. So you guys act like expert. No,
I don't even act like expert. You got to know what you don't know, right?
Exactly,
you
got to
know what you don't know. But
when it gets to this time of the season, we call in the people who know what they're talking about.
Absolutely.
You know, listen, that's a good idea.
And Luke, one thing we learned in this business, if you try to fool people, you know, they'll find you out really quickly.
They'll flush you out
and then they'll flush you down.
Exactly,
you know, they'll say goodbye.
And it's so easy now. You can just tweet about it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, true.
People have a lot more guts now.
They're looking to bury you. I've
told BT this story. When I first got in the radio, I was still playing. I was like 2 years in, and I was doing an overnight show for WFAN. So it was the off season of the NFL, which is obviously hockey season. And these people would call in at 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, and they'd be like, what do you think about some Russian?
What about the Rangers?
And I'm like, I have no idea who that is. What do you think? My knowledge hasn't grown much since then.
It's so better that way, though. The things you were telling him, I don't know what
you
think.
Stay. You tell me. Tell me what I need to know.
Well, I'll tell you what we know. What we know. And I was lucky enough to experience this firsthand. And I was talking to Luke before we actually came on the air. This is a long time ago. It was 01, 02.
Yep.
I was doing radio in Detroit. I wasn't at the Joe often, so I didn't expect you to remember me, nor did I even think for a moment that you might.
Oh, right away.
I actually had hair there, so now I know you're lying. But I was there maybe for the greatest hockey team ever assembled. Mm-hmm. 10 Hall of Famers, yourself, Chelios, Hull, Shanny was there, even Avery was there, yeah. Sergei Fedorov was there.
Not a Hall of Fame.
No, I know, but that's why I said even.
Well, if there was partying, if there was a Hall of Fame for partying, he'd be in it.
Is that the best hockey team? I know some of you guys were older at that point, and you came through, you still won the cup, but the vast, cloth of hockey great teams that would make up that fabric, where would that Red Wings team rank?
Well, I would think, talent-wise, for 1 year. You know, because a lot of guys were in their mid-30s and so forth. But for 1 year to put a team together is probably the greatest team ever put together because there's 10 Hall of Famers. I mean, the Montreal Canadiens in the 70s, I would be curious to see how many guys were in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it was 10. And then maybe the Oilers in the early 80s, I think there was maybe 7 or 8 of those guys in the Hall of Fame. So for 1 year when you literally knew, except for Pavel Datsyuk, everybody else, they were going to the Hall of Fame. I remember we played a game against the Boston Bruins 1 year, and a friend of mine was playing on the other team. He was laughing after the game because Steve Yzerman, myself, and Brett Hull won the same line. And all three of us had over 600 goals. So he said their entire team didn't have more than, 1,200 goals, and the three of us had 1,800 together. So, it was amazing, that to put that team together.
But how do the egos not clash? I mean, because it's funny.
Yeah, especially even on the same line. You're talking about, that's a lot of egos on one line.
True.
And the NBA, you're not kidding.
You talk about the NBA trying to develop these super teams when it's not organic. You guys weren't organic because it was pre-salary cap. But was there any issues with, who's the alpha, who's the real leader, who's getting shots?
It was Stevie. It was Stevie Eisenman's team. We all knew that coming in. But I think, too, we all had our career. We were all towards the end. So every one of us was willing to sacrifice to win the big prize. And we all understood that. Sometimes when you got guys fighting for contracts and so forth, it's a little bit different. But everybody was rewarded. The Mr. Ilitch, the owner, they treated everybody real good.
Good man.
I think
really good
everybody
man.
Understood at that time that you needed to kind of put aside your ego a little bit, given a few your stats a little bit for the greater cause for the team, and it worked. It's an amazing feeling when it happened.
What he's saying is, we already made our money. We just want to get a cup.
that's right.
That's what happens. It happens in every sport, to be honest with you.
And they're treated like legends out there in Detroit because they are.
What was more, the compelling stint for you? Was it with the 10 Hall of Famers in Detroit, as BT was just referencing, or with the great one out in Los Angeles? Because obviously, Wayne Gretzky had to be amazing to play with.
I was really young when Wayne came in L.A., and it was kind of funny because we're, I think, maybe 6 years apart and so forth. But, you know, when I was like 12, he was 18, and he broke into the league, and he was phenomenal. I had never seen a guy like that. So for me, I kept watching every game. I would always want to see the Oilers. So, you know, by the time I'm playing in the NHL and I hear he gets traded to L.A., I was going to play with my idol. I mean, this was like, there was no one else in my world. So I think, though, it was detrimental to me because I really idolized him almost too much to a point where I could barely talk to him. I remember one time we started playing together and he came after a couple of games and I wanted to give him the perfect pass because he comes to the bench and he says, "Hey, Lucky," he goes, "just give it to me. I'll give it back to you." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. So for the next like 10 games, every time I got the puck, I just kind of threw it at him. So finally, I remember the coach coming to me, goes, "I'm going to take you off his line. You're not even playing." I was like, "Really?" I go, "I'm sorry." Like, I felt so bad. But you're playing with your idol. You just want everything to be perfect. You know, it was kind of funny.
I got you. Lou Robitaille is with us in the studio, of course. Hall of Famer, now an executive with the Kings here. And I wonder, you know, listen, anybody – if you're a huge hockey fan, everybody knows your accomplishments, the All-Star games, all the goals, what you did on the power play, who you played with, and what you did. But I am curious how you can slip to the ninth round when you were drafted, and now you're an executive now. Mm-hmm. And I find it very interesting, maybe what you look for in players that they weren't able to identify in you, where you went, where hundreds of players went before you. Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds. Yeah.
Tom Glavine went ahead of me for crying out loud.
By the Bruins, right?
No, by the Kings.
That's what doesn't make sense.
I told everyone I wanted to play hockey, and Tom Glavine says, "No, I'm going to go play baseball." And the Kings still drafted him ahead of me. That's but they didn't believe in me.
What was deficient though in your game? Like what?
My skating. You know, okay. I wasn't really big, and then my first year in junior hockey. Our team wasn't really good, so not too many scouts saw me. Mm-hmm. There was one gentleman, actually, that he happened to live in that neighborhood, and he saw me literally every night, even though our team wasn't good. I think he saw that I loved the game and I had a passion for it. I think that was the reason that he fought to draft me. Mm-hmm. And I know now that I don't think I was on any list of any team. And
really?
I was the one team
Why? Wait, because so you wouldn't have been drafted?
You know, there's a scouting report at some point. Apparently, someone wrote that he's slower than his Zamboni. Yeah. So don't even touch him. I mean, that's really slow. You've seen that Zamboni go around. You don't need to know hockey to know how slow that thing is.
Very slow. Tough to overcome that scouting report. Wow.
You know, when you just jump forward to now, you watch some of these new markets for hockey.
Yeah.
We talk about Arizona has a hockey team, and Nashville has a hockey team. Hell, Las Vegas,
Tampa, Carolina.
The sport has grown so effectively, and I feel like it should be more, I guess, promoted than it actually is. And when people ask us all the time, how come you guys don't talk hockey? Right? Why don't you talk hockey? Yeah. We're a national show. We're not a local show. Mm-hmm. So how come you guys don't talk hockey? How come hockey can't get out of the regional nature of what it is?
We're slowly but surely like making strides. It's probably not fast enough. Mm-hmm. I think those outdoor games help having.
It's really the last 10 years
or so. It's really the first time in hockey that we're actually promoting stars. You know, even though we had Gretzky and Murray, it's always been like the logo first and so forth, which it is the logo, but you always remember seeing a great player.
Of course.
If you're a fan of a sport or a team, you never forget seeing the great player. Like, so you tell your kids, "I saw so-and-so." Yeah. And I think hockey is finally getting there. And, you know, I don't know. I think maybe we still got to figure out the whole TV thing. I think we need to keep increasing the amount of the cameras that we're using so you see better angles and so forth. That being said, like, there's nothing like going to a game in Nashville these days.
Yeah.
And going to Vegas is
or anywhere. I went to a Rangers game earlier this year. It's just,
go to games. It's
incredible. It's something that we got to keep working a little bit harder. And sometimes, like you say, though, like some of it's just the way it is. A lot of people that are working, whether it's TV or radio and so forth, they might not have grown up playing hockey.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit like, you know, you don't really want to talk about something you're not comfortable
with.
That's
how I was. I mean, I grew up in Virginia. There wasn't hockey around. There was nothing. I mean, I wasn't watching it growing up. So when I came to New York, it was like, what's this hockey thing? Then I got invited to a game, and I was like, man, this is awesome. But you had to be there. Another question along those lines. Are you surprised? Because we know how expansions work. Expansion drafts in particular work. The Las Vegas Knights, the Golden Knights, they got good immediately.
Yeah.
Is that an anomaly?
I wanted that to happen. Seriously.
And I'm kind of asking.
Well, hold on. We're all surprised. I mean, we were all surprised when they started. But we knew they were all getting, like Gary Bettman and the league and the Board of Governors, they addressed the fact that when we had expansion in prior years, teams came out of the gate and they were struggling for almost 5, 7, 8, 10 years.
Yeah.
And they want to make sure that the team would be more competitive. They didn't know that if you're a really smart GM, you could, by being more competitive, you could make better deals. And the fact that out of 23-man roster, we can only protect at best 11 or 9, depending how you chose to protect, whether it was 3 or 4 defensemen and so forth. I mean, he got to pick out of the next 12 guys. So you can always pick a good player from each team, and then teams that were scared to lose a player would make a deal and get rid of 2 or so forth. So, you know, he came out and maybe didn't have any superstars, but they all got great players. Then they hired a great coach that made them play together. But they all like first and second round picks. Yeah. These guys, you know, they're good players.
Yeah, I hear you. Luke Robitaille is with us here in studio, Hall of Famer, president for the Kings, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know, you mentioned your affinity for Wayne, you know, and how you almost tried to do too much and fit in and maybe placate and just it kind of got you off your game a little bit. 14 years with the Kings, it's a long run. But you also, I mean, you spent time, as we mentioned, with Detroit.
Yeah.
We were with our Rangers for a couple of years and the Penguins for a year or two with the Penguins.
One year with the Penguins.
I mean, that's kind of like playing for the Yankees and the Cubs and the Red Sox and the Dodgers or the Celtics and the Lakers, to use the NBA analogy. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Luke, okay?
All right.
Let's take away the Kings.
Okay.
Because you were there 14 years, and that's probably going to be answer. The best environment, would you rather play at the Joe? Would you rather one game in your prime? At the Joe, at the Garden, or in Pittsburgh? What was the best vibe? What made you feel the most alive? What truly captured
I'm in
the
New York,
essence
though,
of hockey?
I got to be careful. I got to go outside after this.
You're a hockey player. You can defend yourself.
I don't know. You know, playing at the Joe was so awesome. And then we won. So I have to say the Joe. But there's nothing that playing in Madison Square Garden. Even when I was playing for the Kings when I was young, I remember there's something thrilling about you coming to play in Madison Square Garden against the Rangers or for the Rangers. And you know, in our league, the original six are so special that I was fortunate I played for 2 of those teams.
Yeah.
And it's totally different. For some unknown reason, everything is different when you play for the original six. It's like every game is an event. It's pretty amazing for us, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in football, you know, you don't play 82 games. So sometimes over an 82 games season, some of the games is like, you know, January.
It's a drag.
You play the original six, like, even when you travel, like everybody travels with you and everything, it's pretty special.
Nice. Yeah, tell us about this new water and ice development technology called Blue Echo and the liquid crystalline Turbex system. This seems pretty environmentally, I think, fantastic.
Man, you say some big words. I'm glad you said it because I can't say those.
I'm just reading what I was
saying. What are you doing these days, Luke? Professor Robitaille is with us here.
Well, you know, I was thinking the other day and I drew this up.
What the hell is this?
It's a technology we've been working for a couple of years. You know, in the hockey, like the ice surface, you know, changed from building to building. And we've had issues with humidity inside buildings and so forth, whether it's raining and so forth. And a few years ago, you know, in California, we always talk about the drought and we have struggling with water and so forth. We heard about this technology these guys were working on where they would take the humidity out of the inside of a building and then turn that humidity into water. And then we could use that water and then make the ice surface with it. So basically, it would be all self-contained.
Oh, that's interesting.
So at first, like, we were like, well, this is really interesting. But then we found out that by doing this, we could probably cut our energy by half in the building. And then the player in me, you always want to work on the quality of the ice surface, because it can make a huge difference when you play the game. So by drying out the building, what it does, it keeps the snow that you know, fills up over the period. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like humid and kind of packing up, it stays like powder, so mm-hmm. the pucks can glide and you can glide. So it turns out to be a win-win for all of us, because, you know, the ice gets better. We keep the building a little bit warmer. It's not humid, so it's better for the players, and we're keeping the water and we're using it. So
nice.
It's been a great thing that we're working on. We're going to work with the league and so forth.
Yeah, so AEG does this with you guys. Other centers are doing this? Other arenas are
doing
it?
Right now, we were the first arena to do a beta test, basically,
at
Staples Center, and
it
worked.
You got a competitive
advantage.
So
that's why now we can talk about it, because it worked.
Nice.
And our players, and no one complained. That's we didn't tell the guys about it. Yeah. So I said, let's see what they say. And everybody's like, this is great. We're like, okay, then now we can talk about it.
Now we can take it to market and make some money on it.
National shows. And, by the way, the first investor, Kobe Bryant. Yeah. All right, three quick hits before you go.
Okay.
Not necessarily the best, the smartest goal you ever tried to score on. He just intuitively.
The smartest goalie? Oh, it was Patrick Roy in our game.
That was easy for you. Not Brodeur. I mean, that was an easy one for
you. He changed the game. When he came on, he was the first goalie to play. We call it a butterfly.
Yep.
You know, where the pads go down. So that meant suddenly you couldn't just score on the ice. You had to raise the puck high. So that changed. Okay. He changed the game alone on his own.
Toughest defenseman. You just couldn't shake him. Even on your best night, he was always in your jock.
Well, there were many of them, but the toughest, because he wouldn't admit defeat. Because if you ever beat him, you were going to pay a price the next three, and was Chris Chelios. He just made you pay a price.
Monster.
Like, so hard.
NHL
was
Live,
awesome.
He was great. EA Sports, he was the you won.
That's why he played for so long, too.
Dirtiest player. We'll let you go on this.
Dirtiest player. I played with him. I think the dirtiest, because he was the right dirty, was probably Marty McSorley. Because even though he was a real tough guy, he fought. Marty had a knack of going to the best player on the other team and whack him and say, okay, let me fight the tough guy. And if he would win against a tough guy, he'd go back to the good player and say, I hope you have another guy, because I'm coming back after you. So he really made you think the whole game. He was great.
Skate Avery over there, Adam. Yeah. He would annoy him to death.
Well, Sean was annoying. Sean would have found a way, but Marty was crazy. Marty would have gotten him at some point.
Ty Domi was pretty nuts, too.
Ty Domi was great, but Ty Domi just played the game hard.
Yeah, yeah. He fought hard.
He fought everybody.
Had to.
Marty had that edge that he would kind of go after a good player first.
Interesting. So
made you think.
Psychology behind
the trait.
Listen, this was really enjoyable. I wish we had a little more time.
No, thanks.
Very interesting endeavor you're involved with. Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille. Great having you in. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming.
Spot.
All right.
There you go. Lucky Luke in the house. All right, we'll get a quick timeout. Come back. Football at the 40s. You want to get some tweets in? Get them going to Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Def Leppard and Journey, two of rock's most iconic bands, touring together this summer. It's a 58-city tour that begins on May 21st, and will roll through some pretty sweet venues like Wrigley Field in Chicago, Coors Field in Colorado, Fenway Park out in Boston, Busch Stadium, and AT&T along the beautiful Embarcadero in San Francisco. Cool venues, plus arenas like the Garden here in New York, MSG, and the Fabulous Forum in L.A., Tickets for this great show, just go to LiveNation.com or Ticketmaster.com. Or keep it here, Tiki and Tierney, for your shot to win again. Tickets coming up today at some point for the concert of your choice. When you hear the Def Leppard and Journey sound, they're in the 5 Eastern hour today. Be the correct caller, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS for your shot to win. Brought to you by Live Nation and us, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki and Tierney, for complete contest rules, go to cbssportsradio.com/rules. I would really, really love. I encourage you, because maybe I can learn something here today. I would encourage you to tweet us. You can get me on my account, or you can just get us directly at Tiki and Tierney. Both verified, easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to get some tweets on where people can actually challenge the notion that that Red Wings team from the early 2000s mm-hmm. is the greatest team ever assembled.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a Canadian, maybe the Flyers from the mid-70s, some people might say the Penguins with Lemieux and Jágr, of course. I mean, I don't know, but boy, just in numbers, 10 Hall of Famers?
It's
incredible.
It's interesting how he positioned it too. It's like we'd all done well in our careers. We all wanted to win a cup.
Yep.
Of course. I mean, you did that back then. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I don't know if it's so much.
Well, it doesn't always happen.
And salary cap obviously makes it almost impossible.
No doubt. And he pointed it out, and he was right. But, I mean, think about how many NBA players, because that's the analogy of super teams and try to chase the championship in a non-organic way. Karl Malone finished up with the Lakers. Yeah. And Gary Payton.
Of course.
You know, Heat, Lakers. I mean, all these guys. Well, I think
Jordan was a Wizards.
Yeah, but I'm saying guys that had won a championship prior to that.
Yeah.
There's been
Barkley, same way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Charles was more. Yeah, that's fair. That, you know what I was thinking? I almost feel like Charles, when he first went to the Rockets, was better than like Malone and Payton and those guys. But maybe not. Charles was kind of diminished at that point. You're probably right. All right, Teek, you ready for football at the 40s, brother?
Not yet.
Why not?
Because it's not the 40s.
Oh, it's not. What am I doing here? It's 20. What am I doing? I thought we had football at the 40s.
That's the next segment.
Look, I had that in front of me. That's my bad.
Yeah. No, we were going
to. See, a lesser man may have started pointing the finger, which, by the way, I was about to do in my own head.
What do you
mean? I was going to pin it on D-Cell. Hey, I was going to make it up and say, D-Cell said we're doing football. That's my mistake. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
So get those tweets in. All right. So I wanted to get a couple minutes on this here, right? The draft lottery, you and I kicked around. It was in inbounds, out of bounds. The merits and, you know, how to dissuade teams from tanking, all that stuff. It's a conversation we've actually had a lot.
I don't know if you can dissuade teams from tanking, because what we consider tanking, we've had this conversation, and Terry Stotts really is the one to enlighten me on this, BT, is they're not actually trying to tank. They just want to get some, because they know they're not going anywhere. They want to get their young players some in-game action. It's tanking, but it's not really tanking, because they're trying to better their team for the next season. So
yeah, they make it seem like they're trying to like tank and get a stock all the way down to like a place where it's not desirable, dump it, and then make a profit. No, they're trying to actually get good.
Yeah, because otherwise these young players aren't going to play.
And to get good, you've got to be really bad in the NBA. Look at the Sixers. I think the Suns are in the formative stage
of
eventually getting good.
You're right.
Booker's a star. If they hit this right with the first overall pick, I mean, and plus they have some other players who are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question, and, you know, I'm kind of in the minority on this, and I don't know that it's fair. And, you know, DeAndre Ayton, and we talked about him yesterday. We had him on the show at the Final Four.
Yep.
Got a chance to know the young man. Incredibly, you know, just physically imposing. The numbers jump off the page. Efficient. He's a beast. He's athletic and all that.
Smart.
But why? I don't know. I mean, I feel like people are a little quick to anoint him the consensus first overall pick based on his skill set and based on the trend of the rest of the league.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you just from seeing the lottery last night and seeing how it played out, and then the stories that started to pop up around the Suns and the Kings and the Hawks, it's like, all right, this is what they need. And you start reading the needs of these Suns, and like, oh, they need a center. They need a big man. But as they're saying this, I'm thinking to myself, who needs a center in 2018? It's not necessarily are we reverting back to 2000s, you know, early 2000s when a big man was a big
people
part.
Like the Ostertags of the world, and like, these big, you know, slow-footed, space-aiding.
Think about who's playing centers in the four teams that are left right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the Rockets are different because of Capella. He is kind of in the classic center role. Like, he blocks shots, and all he does is score at the rim. He's, what do you have, 79% field goal percentage this year? Because all he's doing is dunking.
Yep.
But the other teams, I mean, Draymond Green starts at center sometimes for the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm. And the Hamptons Five.
Agreed. And for a lot of the season with the Cavaliers, it was Kevin Love starting at center. And then and obviously Al Horford does for the Boston Celtics, but he spends half the game around the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I know DeAndre Ayton's a stud. You saw it in college. He was amazing. But he doesn't have a lengthy shot. In fact, when we talked to him, it's what he said he needed to work on. He wasn't talking about, I need to work on my post-up moves and, you know, how to be a rim protector. He said, I need to work on my three-point shot. And so the kid, the international kid from Slovenia, who Luka Doncic, who interestingly was coached by Igor Kosakov, who is now the head coach of the Suns, actually makes more sense if you're the Suns.
It could.
Right?
You could.
You want spacing. You want
– if he's good.
If he's good. And again, we don't know. I mean, I've never seen him play.
When they say last night during the lottery show that he doesn't handle pressure well, that's probably not a good thing for a guy who's going to be handling, I don't know, the basketball. Yeah. And that's what they actually said about him.
I know.
You know, he doesn't really handle pressure well.
What does that even mean? I mean, he's 19.
It's
like, how do we know?
The chef can't handle a stove. What do you mean? He can't handle the ball. They're going to press you. They're going to get up in your face and trap you. I mean, when things get tight, they're not going to press you like college hoops for 40 minutes, but they'll pick their spots, and ball pressure has become a very real thing again. It's making a comeback. I don't know if it's fair, and I want to get the exact numbers here. I know they weren't good, but I want to make sure I don't misspeak here. I cannot shed the image of the Buffalo-Arizona game. And, you know, Ayton.
First round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and it's funny. When you look at him now, you know, 6 for 13, tick below 50%, okay.
Yeah, not horrible.
No, not horrible. 13 rebounds, 14 and 13. You're like, well, not bad. But watching the game, he looked a little disengaged. And, you know, I'm not trying to discredit Buffalo, nor am I trying to live through every precise mode of the NCAA tournament in round one. But how do you lose that game? And is it unfair for me or for us to place extra weight on a pivotal moment like that? That's my last moment of DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
Who just got swallowed up by a Bulls team that's largely inferior.
Yeah, and also it might have been
the whole Sean Miller thing.
That and you know his association with it, even if it was not explicitly said, because nobody you stopped talking about it really after it kind of went away, after it was disproved in some regards. And then he's thinking more about the NBA than he is thinking about the NCAA. And so who knows what actually went down there. But we also can't forget, let's look at Ben Simmons at LSU in his one and only season as a Tiger. I mean, they didn't even make the NCAA tournament. And
that's true.
We looked at Ben Simmons and said, this guy's one of the best college basketball players in the country? No chance. And now look at him. He's likely to win the Rookie of the Year. So it's really hard to judge because of the lack of motivation sometimes for these kids that are just easily and definitely one and done in college, like Ben Simmons was, and DeAndre Ayton is going to be.
You might be onto something with that. You know, it's very easy to forget that Simmons' team was basically 500 or a tick below, and you're right, they didn't even make the tournament. Okay. Still don't know if I take him first, but maybe I can begin to place that the context of that game in a different light and maybe see it through a different prism. I've kind of held that against him a little bit here. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't as much. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Quick way to save money, switch to GEICO, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all at GEICO.com. You ready for football at the 40s next segment?
Next segment, yes.
I understand. Guess who's up now? The Hack. Rich Hackerman. Here
you
he
like
is.
Hack. This week on my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop, sponsored by GEICO, I got a chance to talk to Michael Caparaso, who is the president, CEO of New York Roadrunners. We talked about the upcoming Brooklyn Half Marathon and obviously his experiences with the New York City Marathon, one of the greatest in the country. Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast. And great news, there's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Okay, Teke, good job. 42 minutes past the hour. It's a Wednesday. Teke and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. 1-855-212-4227 at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. By the way, you never know, but there's some Def Leppard and Journey tickets to be won pretty soon. You might want to pay attention to that. We're going to get to football 40s in a moment here. Top of the hour, Rockets, heavy on the Rockets Warriors. We'll get to that coming up at 5 Eastern. CJ Nikowski is going to join us at 5:20.
Oh, we like CJ.
By the way, speaking of baseball, that's what he's going to hop on for. Great analyst, great guy, too. We've known CJ for a long time. This Mets game is going on forever.
What was his first pitch here?
Think it was like 12. I think it was on when I was driving to work. I think it was like 12:20 or 12:40.
Yeah, they've had a couple of
still
delays.
Oh.
I mean, they keep putting the sand. They keep blowing these bags of sand to fill in the muddy spots on the field. It's ninth inning finally.
It is a mess.
I think they were out away from being done.
Mm-hmm.
But almost 5 hours? Yeah, not fun.
That's a rough day at the yard, for the Mets and the fans.
Yeah, there's about 30 people left in the stands.
I'll tell you what, though. If you're at this game, this is the kind of game where you just say, I'm jumping down behind the dish.
Oh, no doubt.
And hopefully the ushers. Because back in the day, you could do that. You know, I don't know how all the new stadiums are now, but, like, they're so more vigilant. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't pay for the seat, even if nobody's occupying it and it's poor weather and it's an empty house or a half-empty house, let the kids go and sit near home plate behind the dugout, behind
the Dallas Mavericks bench or the Denver Nuggets bench. Just let them see their heroes. Yeah. I don't understand why people don't do that.
Let them get up close, maybe get a little high five through the fence.
100%.
Or a finger five, I should say.
They never forget it. A finger five, yeah, I know. I told you, I got one. I haven't gotten a bunch. And you don't forget that as a young fan.
True.
You ready for football at the 40s?
I am now.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let's go.
Are you?
Yes. Yes.
40-yard kick.
Love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki, here we go. Des Bryant doesn't have a team, so he doesn't have a direct outlet, but he's got his own outlet to express how he's feeling. That's Twitter, social media. And Des was doing a little typing yesterday. He says this is the short version. He's appreciative of the Ravens' offer, but he has no regrets for declining it. Listen, I think we all agree that the Cowboys did him a little dirty based on when they bounced him.
Too late.
Too late. And not nice, but not nice. It's business. I hear you. But still, for somebody who was there for a while, you thought they may have been worked with him a little bit more. He says he doesn't regret it. Do you believe it? I mean, how long does this drag out for Des Bryant?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be a little while. The problem is now teams have now gone through obviously they went through the free agency period, which he got released very late in. They've gone through the draft, so they picked up people in free agency, as the Baltimore Ravens definitely did. They get guys in the draft, and so they need to see how these guys play out. Right? They need to see how they fit into the system, how much they're learning. And before there's another need, Dez has got to wait. And so, I mean, he can say he doesn't regret it, but right now he's not on a team. And there's not prospects for him getting on a team anytime soon. And we know what his philosophy is right now going into the season. I want to prove myself. I want to make $14 or $15 million, prove myself, and then go get a long-term deal. Problem is, the longer you wait, the less that number goes down.
Unless somebody gets hurt.
Even if somebody gets hurt, because of where we are with there's teams' caps and then their rookie pool that they have to pay.
Yeah, that's true.
There's not going to be money for him to do a one-year deal. So in order for him to make that kind of money, someone's got to have to commit for a 3 or 4 year deal. But who the hell's committing to a 3 or 4 year deal for Des Bryant at this point?
Nobody that's sensible.
So it's a money thing. It's not going to work out for him. He's ended up signing a very low deal for a team that's desperate because guys get hurt.
Which, by the way, might not be the worst thing for him to reestablish some value.
Exactly.
1 year incentive later, let me prove I still have a little juice in the wheels and go somewhere else.
Don't prove it that way. Don't go prove it on a $15 million deal for 1 year.
And don't try to prove it on Twitter. I think the best thing that he could do is lay out a little bit. Everybody knows you want to play. Let your agent do work, get you with the right spots, and just lay out and let this develop. He's going to be playing somewhere. It's just a matter of when and obviously where. All right, Lane Johnson not laid off from the Eagles, of course. They're wordy right tackle, taking some more shots. He was on Steve Austin's podcast. Stone Cold's got a podcast. I'm going to have to check this out at some point. And revealed that he still has some ill will. He's, quote, "Here's what really pissed me off," Johnson said. "The Pats, obviously, now I respect their coach. I respect Bill and I respect Tom. But just because the way that they won the Super Bowl, the Patriots way, is that how everybody else is supposed to do and basically be the same thing?" End quote. Basically, it's him, give it a high five to individuality, which I love.
I mean,
the Patriots way is great, but it's kind of boring.
It is, but it works for the Patriots.
Not saying it doesn't.
I don't understand why he's mad at the New England Patriots.
Well, because they were talking smack.
Of course, but that's what they do. Don't they deserve to be able to talk smack?
But I don't think that's the Patriot way. That's what's so interesting. The Patriot way is head down, do your job, and say much.
Well, publicly.
Publicly.
But not in game. In game, those guys are just as bad as anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you could take the individuality out when you're sitting in front of a mic and it's going to end up in a newspaper or on a TV show. But when you're in the middle of a game, these are football players. They're doing football things, which is talking trash.
You ever talk trash?
No.
Not at all?
Never.
Come on.
Never. Never.
If you ever talk trash, you probably sound like a butler.
I would say.
Excuse me while I just juke myself past you and I make you look so bad that your entire family tree feels this.
I would just be
jaunting this way.
Pick up your
behind
jock
David
that
Deal
you left behind you, and David Deal is stepping on, and Rich Soyberg is dragging him across.
There you go. Drag him. Nobody wants to have him dragged on him. All right, Josh Rosen Josh Rosen's impressing people. He's impressing his coaching staff. He's impressing his linemen. And he's getting first-team reps. Mm. I know.
Oh, pump the brakes.
I was
going to
say, we know he'll absorb the playbook because he's borderline brilliant.
No, he's smart. He's so smart.
But what does this mean in the football sense? I mean, let's not overreact to this. Go ahead. Tell us what's up.
Absolutely nothing. So he's getting first-round reps today or yesterday, whenever this happened, because Sam Bradford, who is oft injured, had the day off.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Glennon, who is technically the number two on the depth chart. That won't last long.
Yeah, okay, Rosen sure
will be number two. But this is mini caveat. I mean, it's brand new for him. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he'll jump Mike Glennon. But Mike Glennon was sick. So he's throwing up before practice started. So he didn't even practice.
Okay.
So Josh Rosen's getting first team reps because there's no other quarterback.
Yeah, but hold on. It doesn't matter how you get there. It's what you do once you get there. So if he impresses.
But most people will look at the headline and be like, oh, Josh Rosen's getting first team reps. Okay, let's get the context of why he's getting first team reps, but then get to what actually happened. He's an impressive football player.
Yeah.
And we know this coming in. Right now, he's in underwear, that is, no helmets and no pads. And he's going to look good like that. I promise you, every practice he plays in, because he'll learn the playbook quick, as BT just mentioned. He has a great arm. His timing is fantastic. But it's a different game once you start hitting. I'm more interested to see Josh Rosen once he becomes live, as opposed to dominating this part of the offseason, which I expect him to dominate.
And no surprise, he's been positioned as the best pure thrower of the football in years.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, with no defenders, he's going to look good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll file this in the TBD department. Agreed. Keep an eye on Josh Rosen, obviously.
By the way, I think he probably does end up starting relatively soon.
Yeah, when Bradford gets hurt in the first quarter of game one. There's certain things that you just kind of think that you know, and then when you see something, you realize, wow, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are going to retire Thurman Thomas's number 34, which leads me to say, what took him so long? Why is this not already done?
I have no idea.
I thought it was already done.
This had to have been an oversight. They had to have just not thought about this, because obviously he was part of those iconic teams that won three consecutive AFC championships. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, 12,000 career yards. Four consecutive AFC championships. He was a beast in the Super Bowl against the Giants, but obviously it wasn't their offense, so he had a big game, but they still lost it to the New York Giants on that wide right kick. I thought this had already happened. I'm going to say because of change of ownership, maybe, because of, I don't know, I don't understand this.
Yeah, but it's not like they changed ownership. It should have been done even before the new owners came in.
Yeah.
This is really odd. This is an oversight.
And it is because they only have two jerseys retired. OJ is not retired. Kelly and Bruce Smith.
They don't give out OJ's number, obviously, but it's not retired.
But it's the same team.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's the same error. This was a miss.
I'm really glad
it's happening now.
And it's not like he was only there for 5 years. I mean, he was there 11 years-ish? I mean, he was there for, was it 12?
His whole career was in Buffalo.
I don't know if he played 11 or 12. I mean, I don't know. Great receiver.
Oh, he finished with Miami. So,
his last right. He did have a year with them. You almost forget about
I
that.
Did,
he's
yeah.
almost like, I don't know. I mean, kind of like the prototype to what we have now.
You're right.
Like a pioneer. Catch the ball, run the ball. I really thought for the Bills. Bills do a lot right with their fans and with their players, and even though they don't win a ton, this was done wrong. This was an egregious oversight. Should have happened years ago. Come on, it's Thurman Thomas. Okay, the Colts are giving players written tests on offense.
Love
here.
This.
Of course you do, because you're a nerd and a student at heart.
No, you just...
Not a bad thing. I think this is good, too.
Look, there's a couple of ways to learn on offense. One is by, all right, we're going to install it, and then we're going to go out on the field, and we're going to practice it. And the problem is, especially in mini camps like this, there's too many players, and so not everybody is going to get reps. And so you're forced to let these guys, you know, pick it up mental, get the mental rep. You're not getting the actual rep, get the mental rep. But that doesn't often translate, right? And so I think forcing guys to take tests and you put a competitive nature into learning is smart, especially for a bunch of these young. These are mostly the rookies that are doing this right now. I think it's smart. I think it's really smart, and more teams should do these. Not that you're punitive if you fail it.
I was saying, what do you have to run laps, gassers?
Well,
what's the penalty? Push-ups?
Maybe something.
All right.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki, just a heads up. PGA Tour on CBS rolls through Dallas, Texas, coming up this weekend as the world's best take on. It's a new course, the beautiful Trinity Forest Golf Club. Sergio's out there, Jordan Spieth, They lead the charge at the AT&T Byron Nelson. Always a great event. And it's right here, of course, on CBS this weekend, coming up on CBS. By the way, I got a great tweet. Joel at Carolina Clicks tweeted in that the 73-74 Canadians had 11 Hall of Famers. But it was ironically the worst year that they had in the 70s. So, all right, thanks for the tweet, brother. Third hour of hoops, Rockets Warriors next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.